A scripture is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, reading from verse 13, which is in the inside cover of that order of service you have. And they brought young children to him that he might touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said to them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and bless them. Amen. Don't know about you, but sometimes you just assume that if you give a present, it's going to be well received. And I suppose if people give me a present, they assume that it's going to be well received. I remember, believe me, I do remember this way back when I was young, 100 years ago. Christmas time, getting up in the morning and running down. It wasn't a stocking, it was a pillowcase, if I remember correctly, and digging in to see what was there, and you got to this tangerine. Received with gratitude. Not really, but it was a traditional thing to get at Christmas, along with everything else. Nowadays, if you give a child one of these or the thicker version, which I couldn't get, an Argus catalogue, where do they immediately go to? And they start drooling at all the toys that they would like. Give this to an adult and you immediately know where their heart is, depending on the pages they go to. But nowadays we've got Amazon and eBay, and you can get your gift sent directly to the person to whom it's intended. And sometimes we look for something and we feel we would like it. We maybe save up for it or whatever, and when we get it, it's not what we expected. Doesn't bring that overall joy that you anticipated that it would. Then sometimes, like the tangerine, we show our displeasure, you know, or giving a child a pair of socks, just not interested, you know, give me the packaging. And then sometimes, as has happened to my wife and I on one or two occasions, you go out of your way to get something to give as a gift, and they turn around and say, "Oh, we've got that, we don't need it, thank you." And it's like a slap in the face, isn't it? So not every present is going to be received with the joy or the gratitude that you yourself have intended to give it. And sometimes we have to do something in order to receive a gift. Sometimes we have to be somewhere. I'll see you on Wednesday at the coffee shop. And you have to go to the coffee shop, and then you're presented with a gift. But you wouldn't get the gift if you didn't go to the coffee shop at that time that was arranged. Sometimes you won't get a gift if you don't put out your hand to receive it. Sometimes you have to turn round and reply to your name or respond to your name in order to receive it. But then here Jesus is dealing with children. And how many times have you heard it said, "I hope there's no children there. Hope there's no children. They're just going to spoil things. There's going to be noise. There's going to be disruption." Might not see it, but we might think it. And is that right? We may be going to a special meeting or going to meet someone we think is special, and you don't want your children there because, A, they might embarrass you, or they want too much attention, or whatever the reason. But is that right? When our boys were growing up, they're grown up now, but when they were growing up, we would never go anywhere where they weren't welcome. We just made a point. You only go once or twice to a place to realize where their heart is, and then you just don't go back. If you're not welcome as a family, we didn't go back. But here, the disciples are making a similar assumption about children. It doesn't say if it was the parents that took the children to Jesus. It just says those that took the children to Jesus to be blessed. Children, so receptive. Many years ago, there was a missionary, Robert Moffat, and he went to this meeting and was so disappointed at the very few people that came to hear him speak. However, he decided he would carry on with his message and present it anyway. And unknown to him, little boy in the background, pumping away at the bellows to keep the organ going. And his name was David Livingston. And during that meeting, David Livingston, who would pioneer Christian work in Africa, made that commitment that he wanted to be a missionary, the same as Robert Moffat. We can overlook the value of children in our midst. And I'm putting up my hand here as well. We moved to our present house less than 100 years ago. But we've been there for a wee while. And when we went there, our two boys were children. There was other children in the street. And we just used to wave our children goodbye in the morning when they went to school. We would stand at the window, or if it was fine, we would stand outside. And other kids were leaving for school as well. And we would just wave to them. They would wave to us. Now some of them have families visiting their parents, and they still wave. They still smile. They still acknowledge us. And maybe we're the only families in the street that they would acknowledge. And sometimes they don't even turn round to wave to their own parents. But if we're out or we're at the window, we get a wave from them as they pass. You never know what you're building in the children's lives. You never know. This story here is carefully placed by Mark, I think, into a situation where the Pharisees asked Jesus about marriage. And he says Moses allowed divorce because of the hardness of people's hearts. But it wasn't always that way with God. Then the other side of the children's story is we have the rich man coming to Jesus and saying, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He gave all the right answers, and then Jesus said, "Sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven." And he walked away sad because he couldn't do it. His riches were more important than eternal life. So in between this, we've this story about the children coming to be blessed. See, the rich man had everything but lacked the cross. There's a young lad sitting here, Nick. took to drink. Was passing the door of the church 2 months ago, walked past and said, "Why do they need to go in there?" Mumble, mumble, mumble. And as he was crossing Summer Street, halfway across, he was stopped. Felt he had to come back into the church and as a Christian. He had nothing. Now he has the cross. The rich man had everything and didn't have the cross. Is it easy to receive a gift? And then we have the situation here where it was safer for the rich man to walk away in all that he had than the disciples in their pride. People would take their children to rabbis, especially well-known rabbis, to be blessed. We see people taking their children to the Pope so that the Pope touches him when he visits a country. It's not uncommon. We see even people taking their children to a football match and leaning them over the tunnel so the players can come out and touch them. Whatever your thing is. But we have the disciples here rebuking the parents or whoever takes the children to be blessed by Jesus. Jesus isn't happy with them, but they're not being boorish or anything else. I think they're just being protective over Jesus. And it's at this time that Jesus knows that he's on the way to the cross. He knows that his time is now at hand. He's going to endure more suffering than anyone in the face of this earth has ever endured and survived. He's going to be beaten, tortured, flayed alive. And he knows this in his heart, that the time is at hand. And yet, he picks up these little children in his arms and puts his hand on them to bless them. And I'm sure he had a smile on his face. He was full of joy. Maybe even had a joke. But he had time for them. Even in his own mind, cluttered with what was ahead of him. And I'm sure the atmosphere between Jesus and the disciples, they must have sensed that something is going on here. They wouldn't have understood about the cross, but they must have sensed that there was something more of an urgency and a purpose in Jesus' steps as he made his way towards Jerusalem and the cross. They must have felt this change in atmosphere, but yet Jesus had time for children. Let the children come to me. Jesus is not a joyless, gloomy God that is portrayed in the media. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. Something that maybe we need to remember as well in reverence. Verse 14 said, "Of such is the kingdom of God." So Jesus is making a point here. He's using the children as a parable. He's using the children in the same way that he would use the sower went out and scattered the seed. And he says, "Of such is the kingdom of God." What was it about children that Jesus loved? Well, there's a child's humility. See, a disciplined child is a humble child. And the only one that has an arrogant attitude is the one that's been misguided by adult treatment. Child doesn't know embarrassment. Child doesn't know pride. Child, by and large, loves to be obedient. Children love parameters. They love boundaries. They love to know. And sometimes they stretch the boundaries to see how far they bend. But they like to know that there's boundaries. I've got a year-old granddaughter, and she's just started to walk, and she visited a couple of weekends ago. And she went to the lounge fire, which wasn't on. But we said no, and she looked and smiled, that smile that you get, and she made another step towards the fire, and the word no became more serious, no. And the smile became more intense, as much as to say, watch me. And then as I kind of moved forward to get up and said, no, she just smiled and went away and did something else. Children are comfortable in boundaries. Unfortunately, successive governments have destroyed those boundaries, and now children rule, basically. But it's not normal. It's not God's way of dealing with things. But children like to know where the boundaries are. Also, not only in the obedience, but also in the trust. Children show tremendous trust in you. Probably more trust in you than you have yourself. I remember, shared this story before, being in holidays when the boys were little in the Lake District, and we climbed up this hill, and rather than go back down the same way, we decided we would take this steep path. And we were actually looking at the jets passing us underneath. We were as high as that. And the wind got up. It was really blowing strong. And Anne says, this isn't good. And I says, we'll manage fine. And inside my heart saying, this is wrong being here. Anyway, Anne's got one of them in her hand, and her skirt's been blown over her neck, and I'm grabbing the other one, and this path is only a foot wide, and it's very steep. I said, no, we'll be okay. We're all right. No problem. And inside I am saying, Lord, help. But did my two boys look up and cry? No, they just held your hand tight and expected you to look after them. It's a trust that they have in an adult, and also a confidence. They haven't learned yet to be fearful of strangers. That's taught. That's taught by adults. And yes, it has a place as well. But I remember my grandson when he was about two, we took him to the shops. Hide and seek was his game. And he would go behind women's skirts that were shopping and hide, and yet, oh no, this is not good, because it's embarrassing for the person as well. But they didn't know. There's an innocence in children of such is the kingdom of God. Do we display that same innocence, that same humility, that same acceptance of authority, same confidence in other people, where children haven't yet learned to be bitter, to be full of unforgiveness? Of such is the kingdom of God. And now, of course, we're looking at, is it easy to accept a gift? Wife and I, as I said, have given gifts and they haven't been received. Oh, I've got one of them. I don't need it. Thank you. And you get it back. How do you feel? Have you ever tried to give somebody something and they haven't wanted it. Well, the challenge here today is that God is offering his Son, Jesus Christ, to you. Do you know him? Not interested. I just want my soup and my sandwich, and then I'll be away. Really? So how does God feel? He offers the gift of eternal life through the sacrifice of his Son. No. Just want my soup and my sandwich, and I'll be fine. You're going to slap God in the face and say, I don't need Jesus Christ. Because there's one thing you do. If you want to know the joy of knowing God, the meaning of life, it's accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. There is no other way. There's no other way to that joy, to that peace. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquity is covered. Let's bow our heads in prayer.